on my pillow that won't dry on their own. Beyond my years, I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone. I'm on the road,
on the road
to recovery, step by step.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Jessica.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start a two-minute meditation. So please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise or that might distract others. Please keep your feet off the kneelers in front of you. The church would like that for us as guests. Thank you. You want to take this time to get connected to God, let the craziness of the day drift away, and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. So is everybody ready?
Yeah.
So let's start the meditation. Okay, we're going to lead with the fog light prayer, and if you don't know it, there's these little yellow cards in the pews in front of you. God, like a fog light, those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. There is a solution from the big book, page 17. The tremendous fact for everyone is that we've discovered a common solution. We have a way out in which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmless action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked Roy to read the Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience, and we read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one. So it's kind of important to know what one is.
Recovered alcoholic Roy. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recovery, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think that this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Thanks a lot. So please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane meeting mode or just turn them off. Now, tonight's very special tonight because Miriam is here, and it's also Marian's 27th anniversary tomorrow, which is a very long time to stay sober, and I think that's pretty awesome. But which is really cool also is it's her birthday tonight. It's her belly button birthday. So we're all going to sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marian. Happy birthday to you.
I love you so much.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Shan't tell us how she did it.
Wow. I'm Marian. I'm an alcoholic and a recovered alcoholic. And thank you. That was beautiful. I wore a fancy white dress tonight and fancy shoes. Because of the significance of the third step, the significance of my birthday, I just wanted to go over the top a little bit, I think. But mostly because this dress was one I wore this last year. My faith is I'm a Catholic. I'm now a Catholic, and
at Easter time, I took my first communion. This was my first communion dress. And some people that are Catholics do that when they're babies. And I was not quite a baby. But wherever your walk is with God is your walk with God. And God bless you. And I'm so glad you're here. Specifically, the new members of Alcoholics Anonymous and new to the rooms. I hope you find something that I found here. And it never fails to get reflective of, you know, God brought me to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous the day after my 30th birthday. And this night, 27 years ago, I was on my second time around getting drunk. I started out with Bloody Marys in the morning and went home and passed out, and I went out again at night with my matted hair and my leopard shirt. I still never wear leopard. I always say that. But and I certainly didn't know it was going to be the last night I was going to drink. I always think if I would have known it was the last night, I probably would have done a little bit more. But I also remember having that feeling where I couldn't catch a buzz, man. I was like, I think I drank myself sober. I drank myself sober. I don't have anything to do with any of it. But it says, you know, I mean, I wasn't even thinking that night, guys. I wasn't thinking that night that November 11th, 1989 would be my first day. I had no idea. And so I think about that, and I think about my journey, and I think about where I am today, and being in Fort Lauderdale, Florida on a Thursday night in a white dress with a bunch of other drunks that the Big Book talks about that I would not normally mix with, engaged to be married to a man from Brooklyn, New York, when I'm from Bellingham, Washington. If you don't know where Bellingham, Washington is, by the way, it's like the extreme northwest corner of the United States from here. And I want to welcome our friends. Peter and I have from Switzerland here tonight. Do you guys stand up? And I'm going to forget your names, but we just like really embarrass them for a moment. God bless you. You know? And that's a deal. That's what we get in Alcoholics Anonymous, guys. We can travel anywhere in the whole world, and we can find these rooms, and we can find these fellowships, and we can sit down right across the table from one another, and we can say, you're just like me. Here's a crappy cup of coffee. You know? I think we do Starbucks here, though, so that's kind of cool. It's kind of high class here. But you know, and just be able to look each other in the eye and know that you've been where I've been, and you felt like I felt, and you drank like I drank, and you've had that hopelessness, and you've had a jillion regrets, and I just stand here before you like undone that, you know, all those things that alcoholism brought me and how I felt about me, that I can actually tell you today that, you know, as you guys, like looking out at all of you and the beautiful day I've had today, you know, more cake than one needs to have and more flowers than one deserves to have and all that, that, you know, you stick around here long enough and you do what's required. You know, this program of action, you guys, it's not just like God waves it over your head and you just sit back and yay, I'm sober, and life goes on. I guess if you're a heavy drinker, that happens. That you can say, okay, I had a little too much. You know, I'm done. But if you're a real alcoholic like I am, you know, God, I'm sober today by the grace and mercy of a loving, merciful, amazing God. But as a result of that, I can't do anything to add to that. I can't do anything to take away from that. But what I can do is do this program of action. And this program of action, by the result of working these steps, that literally today on my 57th birthday, and I'm okay. You know, I'm sorry, I'm not one of those old ladies that says, oh, I'm 39 forever, you know, ha, ha, ha. No, I'm 57, and by God, you know, earned my seat in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. No, I didn't earn my seat. It's still by God's grace, and it's still by His mercy. But what I can tell you is by the result of working these steps and cleaning away the wreckage and relying on this God, this loving God that I have today, that when people, you know, I went through, you know, one of the media things today, and there was like all these messages from people from all over, and you know, I love yous and everything, but I can feel that today. Like, I can feel love for you, and I can feel that love coming back for me. And you guys, if you, I came to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I hated every absolute fiber of my being. I hated me, and I certainly was busy trying to love you just so I could feel okay about myself, just for a minute, just for a minute. And that's worth it right there. You know, people that would tell me, I'll love you till you can love yourself. What? You know, I always say this, you know, I'm a Pacific Northwest hippie, and I was always looking for this, you know, drum circle and everybody just to be peace and love, and can we all get along together, and can that happen? And you know what? That's what Alcoholics Anonymous is to me. It's a beautiful, unconditional, messy, crazy journey of love. Love for this God, love for each other, and love for ourselves. What a bonus, you know. And also just to say, you know, if I would have written down my plans, if I would have written down and said, well, Marion, your life is going to look like this, I would have sold myself short. So if you're new, or if you're on this journey, don't give up. Keep going. And I might use a slight cuss word here, but it's from the form of a donkey, okay? And I had an old-timer named Jack, and he was an insurance salesman, and he had like 37 years of sobriety. And he would always tell me, and I'd be brave, and I'd be bold. And, you know, this is a lifelong journey, guys. It doesn't mean that it's easy all the time, because it's not. I mean, last year, 2015, was so brutal and so hard. And Peter and I pushed through some really tough things in our lives. Really, you know, desert time. God, where are you? You know, it was very, very difficult. And we stayed the course, and we kept our eyes on God, and He has blessed us. And sure, I don't want them, but I'm sure there'll be way more heart. I'm going to keep knocking on wood, you know. But what Jack would say is, you know what, Marion, you know, I'm going to say, okay. He said, Marion, Alcoholics Anonymous isn't for candy asses. Asses in the donkey form, okay? That's as much as you're going to hear me swear from the podium. But that's not swearing. It's donkeys. And it's not. It doesn't. You know, it takes a lot to go through these steps. It takes a lot to humble yourself. We're selfish. We're self-centered. We're full of pride. We're full of ego. We're full of all those things. And to come in these rooms and go, hey, I'm screwed up, you know, and hey, I need help. You know, it was November 11th, 1989, which is my sobriety day, was the first time I reached outside of myself and said, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I don't know. I wanted to. And I swore off, with or without a solemn oath, I wanted to quit with everything I am. And I couldn't do it, guys. If there was a form and a method or anything, I know. Like, I can look back at my alcoholism. It had leveled me. Alcoholism had leveled me. And there was nothing left. And I tried every single combination I could to get that to work, guys. Every single one I know that I know of. And so here I am, by God's grace and mercy, with you tonight on my 57th birthday, with my handsome fiance from Brooklyn, who walks this shoulder to shoulder with me, hand in hand. And there was a time in my life too where I would not be celebrated, where it wasn't okay for me to shine. And I honor you in that, Peter. I do. Because that's wow. So girls, I'm just going to say something to you right now too. If that's what you're getting from the guy you're with, or if you're waiting for the guy you're going to be with, this is to sober young ladies out there. Wait till you're treated like that. Wait till there's a day you're celebrated and he lifts you up and he holds you high self in high esteem, because that's what you're worth, because you're God's girls. Don't ever compromise. And I can actually say that to you gentlemen too. Same way. God's kids. So, I wanted to read a little bit out of more about alcoholism that I think applies to any of us. Well, duh, it applies to all of us. What you say about the general hopelessness of the average alcoholic plight is, in my opinion, correct. As the two of you men whose stories I've heard, there's no doubt in my mind that you are 100% hopeless apart from divine help. And you can turn that into a question. Was I 100% helpless apart from divine help? Still goes back to the thing, guys. We're all a bunch of alcoholics sitting in a room all together on a Thursday night in beautiful, sunny Fort Lauderdale. You know, Las Solas is just a ways away, and they're not doing what we're doing. But somehow something is keeping us here tonight, and I choose to call that God. We do, right? Had you offered yourselves as patients at this hospital, listen to this, is Dr. Silkworth, right? I got that right? Good. I'm not always good at the facts. Kind of good. Kind of okay. Whatever. I would not, okay, if you had offered yourselves as patients at this hospital, I would not have taken you if I had been able to avoid it. That's what a doctor says about us. People like you are too heartbreaking. Though not a religious person, I have a profound respect for the spiritual approach in such cases as yours. For most cases, there is virtually no other solution. There's no other solution for us, guys. If you've got a way to figure it out, our hat is off to you. Right? Take your hat off. No. His hat is off to you. Once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, except in a few rare cases. Neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. Must come. Because why? Page 62. Nose tubes. Selfishness and self-centeredness that we think is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past we've made decisions based on self which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And in the early days of my sobriety, I think back to, you know, being in treatment and getting these, like I talked about last week, you know, you get these moments that God would just like show up in my life, these coincidences, these moments where you just can't explain it, you know. And God just, like, when we become open, when we become willing, we become, I don't even know, it's just magic is what it is. You know, one of my favorite, and we have all these abbreviations for God, you know. God is God. But G-O-D, group of drunks, good orderly direction. One of my personal favorites on those is G-O-D, great outdoors. And God seems to speak through me, for I collect feathers. If I find a feather, it's like, oh, it's an angel. Or if I find a heart-shaped rock, it's like, oh, God sent me a heart, you know. Oh, look at that cloud shaped like a heart, you know, or the moon. Peter and I look up at the moon, and it's like, it's just like this. And it's like, oh, it's a smiley moon, you know. It says in our big book that God is he's either everything or he's nothing. And I like, this is kind of how I live my life. God is either everywhere or he's nowhere. He's in that cloud. He's in that feather. He's in that moment of that person writing or saying something at the exact right time. He's in that. You know, I remember in super early sobriety, I was driving this clunker old Audi that I might have paid, I don't even know. It wasn't much money, and it was, it wasn't that great. But the deal was, is I had my three little kids in the car, and I think I was maybe 6 months sober. And in Washington State, if you ever get a chance to go for a drive there, there's the North Cascades Highway. And I had my three little kids in the back seat, and I'm driving the car. And I'd driven it, you know, I'd gone camping. That's how you get east of the mountains in Washington State. And I'd gone camping there a million times, drunk as a skunk. Driving, drinking, drive. Oh my God, I should have had so many DUIs going on. It's crazy. They were DWIs back then. And so I'm driving up over this mountain, and I'm 6 months sober. And you guys, it's like there's rivers and valleys and trees and mountains and snow and sunshine and star. I mean, it was glorious. And it was like, I knew in that there was a moment I had on that drive where I came up around this corner, and when I came up around the corner, I literally had to pull off to the side of the road, because, you know, you hear the word breathtaking, it felt like it took my breath away. I couldn't take in any more beauty. I just said to my kids, it's like, whoa, I need a little break here, you know, I need a little break. And that's kind of what it is in life today, you know, as God just throws you these beautiful moments, and you see people come to life, and you see things happen around you, and you see the light come on in people's life, and then they're, you know, you're just filled with this joy, and it's like almost like, but I don't want it to stop. But it's like, God, this is life is so good. I didn't know it could be so good. How can I even take it all in? You know, how do I take it all in? And the deal is just to keep turning it right back to God, to just say thank you. And I think he gives us those moments, and he gives us all this stuff by his grace and by his mercy. Because I feel like at times, you know, we get these reprieves, and what does Dr. Bob says? It's for the low points, right? Because we go through the low points, and I don't know exactly the right page or anything for that. But, you know, We don't know exactly we're going to need this. Oh yeah, God was there at the Mike Chase meeting on Thursday night at 8:15 when they sang Happy Birthday, and it really filled my heart. And I could be going through something really cruddy in the next couple days, but guess what? I'm going to think back on that moment when you guys sang Happy Birthday to me, and you're a total bunch of strangers who I don't even know, but show me love. It's like, I might need that moment at a specific time that's going to help me. And another thing I was thinking of too, you know, was like, here, you know, my journey to South Florida, you know, I've been sober a long, long time. But I'm telling you, when I left there, I was a starving musician. Well, I wasn't starving, but I was eating cereal at the table, and that was my dinner, and I was making pancakes, and that was okay. And, you know, and I was gigging a little bit, and but my life had, there was a lot of sorrow in my life. There was a lot of page 52 in my life where I was having trouble, you know, controlling my emotional nature. I was having trouble in personal relationships. I'd hit a bottom, you know, big bottom in sobriety, and God sent me a guy from Brooklyn, New York to come to Bellingham, Washington, which he'd never been to Washington State. He certainly never been to Bellingham. And he certainly was, they put him up in the cheapest hotel to come speak at my meeting. And it was like, what? How do you connect these dots? And I wasn't even going to go, guys. I wasn't even going to go to the meeting that I was the chairperson for the meeting. I wasn't even going to go because I had a show that night to play music. Okay? But something somewhere in me, you know, I showed up, and that's it. All it all goes back to God. It all goes back to God. It goes back to Bill and Bob. That, you know, it's like, what? You can't make this stuff up. And through that whole process of getting down here wasn't the easiest thing in the world either. You know, I lived 50 years of my life in Bellingham, Washington, and I have 3 kids there and 8 grandchildren, and I would be there and I'd be missing him here, and I'd be here and I'd be missing them. Did I say that the right way? You know, and it was like just a cry out to God. You know, a cry out to God. And through that, what I learned that, you know, Mary, it's not going to be easy, but this is where God wants you to be. You know, and that has been completely evident that this is where God wants me. You know? And so with this walk, and with this walk with God, as you walk with God, and as you build your relationship with God, there will be sacrifice. It isn't going to, it's not like just a bed of roses. It's not. Sometimes it's hard. And going back to Jack's thing, you know, it's not for candy donkeys. You know, it's not. It's not. It's not always easy. It comes with a whole lot of sacrifice. And the big book talks about it. You know, your phone will jingle during the middle of the night and, you know, all these things. But, you know, I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't trade a moment of, and even a moment of every hardship, every hard thing I've walked out in my life, because it's made me who I am. And our big book talks about, you know, no matter how far down the scale I have come, we'll see where our experience can benefit others. Time and time again, with women who've lost children to sudden infant death syndrome, with people that have lost their, you know, their dad or their mom, or some of the things I've walked out in my life that I thought never would be any earthly good for someone, God has always made situations where it would help somebody else. You guys, that's what a relationship with God is like. That's what a relationship with God is like. To keep, it says, we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. I, so corny, but you know, I don't have alcoholism, I have alcoholism. And every day I need that, God. And what happens a lot of times, even for like old timers, and I'll speak to you, you know, it's like, we can look at it as, hold on. We can find ourselves in the bedevilments and we can find our life there. And it was like, oh, I'm just having living problems. No, we're not just having living problems. If you're an alcoholic, you have an alcohol problem. That's me. You know, it's not just the bedevilments when they take hold in my life. The deal is alcohol is a subtle foe. It's a subtle foe. It's like the book says, that it's like the boy whistling in the dark, always wanting and waiting to get me. You know? And I need to, like Peter talks about, turn, watch, and aware, and be aware of where I am. And so I want to go into this too here. Wow, take a breath, Weston. There goes my anonymity. This is the how and the why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, we got drama. Oh boy, did we got drama. God was going to be our director. He's the principal. We're his agents. He's the father. We're his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. And I love these. I believe, I'm sure other people think this too, but this is like some third step. This is like they're giving us a little, look what can happen to you if you turn your will and your life over to God. Listen, listen, listen. Read this. We're going to give you some little bonuses. Or promises before you even do step 3. So it says, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer, being all powerful. He provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves. our little plans and our designs. Guys, I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, and I could speak for, I'm sure, every old timer in this room, that God's plans and designs for your life are a whole lot better than yours. Right? I mean, evidence in a lot of us that have hung out here and done the work over and over again, chopping wood and carrying water and doing the next right thing that we're supposed to be doing in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, God's got a better plan than I can ever come up with. More and more, we became interested in seeing what... Here's an alcoholic. Do we ever think what we could contribute to life? I don't know about you, but when I was drinking, I wasn't getting up in the morning thinking, wow, what can I contribute to life today? You know, that was not what I was running on. I wasn't thinking about, what can I do for my fellow man today? How can I contribute to life? No, it was like, what I want, what I need, what I get, how am I going to get it? Who do I got to scam to get it? Who do I got to lie to get it? And, oh my God, you hurt my feelings. Or whatever it is, it was all about me. As we felt, okay, so here, this is so cool. As we felt this new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, how many of us had peace of mind when we're out there drinking? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? As we discovered we could face life successfully. This is just going into the third step prayer. Now, if you're new and you're listening and you're kind of open to this, this is some good stuff that can happen. As we became conscious of His presence, we began to lose our fear of today. Oh my God, we were full of fear. Lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. And that's the deal, you know, we're reborn. We get a do-over. We get to take our lives and God can turn it around and make... Oh, who does not want to do that third step prayer after that? You know, if you're an alcoholic like I was, man, I needed some hope. I needed to contribute to life. I needed to enjoy peace of mind. I faced life successfully. That was not in my vocabulary. You know, things like that. I want that stuff today. So we were now at step three. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood Him, can we do it together? So cool. God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. Cool. Peter has a teacher that he says, it says, we thought well before taking the step, making sure we were ready. He liked to have guys come over to his house to do his third step prayer, and he'd send them home. You go think long and hard about it. Remember that talk we listened to? That was cool. That we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to Him. So the deal is the proof of the third step and how we know that that third step has become and taken hold in our life is because now what we're going to do is we're going to launch into a rigorous course of action. And that's going to launch us into that fourth step. And next we launched on a course of rigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning. But I think I just want to set it right there and leave it right there for tonight. And thank you for making this an amazing, amazing birthday. And if you're new in the rooms, I hope you keep coming back. Find a sponsor. Reach out your hand. Let somebody know you're hurting. And please, please get the love that you deserve and need. Thank you so much.
All right.
right, let's just thank Marion. Thank you. And Freddie's going to do the secretary report.
Hi, my name is Fred, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. I've asked Travis to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering, and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
Travis, alcoholic. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presence of conflict to some alcoholics, if we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. We are now sane where alcoholics is centered. Consequently, we have recovered. Thank
you. 1940 style Big Book sponsorship. From the forward to the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sobered at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Can I have a show of hands of recovered alcoholics? Is there anyone in need of a sponsor tonight? Please raise your hand. If you guys could just please stand up for a minute. Everyone who is available for sponsorship, can we please meet them after the meeting and get them connected to God? Please join us Monday nights. We have a big book study over here in the other room where the big book comes alive. Fellowship is at 6:30 and the meeting itself starts at 7:15. We have large print big book and big book dictionaries for sale. We meet every Thursday starting promptly at 8:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. Thank you, and I'll see you next week.
All right, like he said, we have tonight's sessions and all past speaker podcasts online for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. And I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night big book study. And those whom wish to thank tonight's speaker, Marion, just line up in the center aisle, please. We're going to close with the Lord's Prayer, but please stay after, have some cake, fellowship, get some phone numbers, all right? All right, guys. Let's just close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, see you Monday or next Thursday. Godspeed. I'm not
accumulation. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all.
Keep on smiling.